Okay, so I didn't have the opportunity to give last week's shiur, so what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to combine questions from Parshas Va'era and Parshas Bo, that it should be a combination shiur so that we should hear Torah from Parshas Va'era as well as Parshas Bo. So let us begin. So the Torah told us in last week's Parsha, Parshas Va'era, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, that Hashem said to Moshe, Kaved Lev Paro, Paro's heart is kaved, it's heavy. Me'ein l'shaleach ha'am, he has refused to send out the nation. And therefore, Lech el Paro, go to Paro baboker, in the morning. Hine yotzei hamayma, behold, he goes out to the water, v'nitzavtu l'krasos fas hayor, and he shall stand by him or with him on the bank of the river. And Rashi comes and explains what was Paro doing by the river, where Moshe had to come and speak with Paro at the river. So Rashi says, Linikavav, he went to relieve himself. That's where he would go to the bathroom. Shaya osa atzma aloka. After all, Paro would make himself an aloha, a god. Va'omer she'eno tzarech linkavav, and he would say that he would not need to go to the bathroom. Umashkim v'yotzei lanilus. And what he would do is he would get up early in the morning and go out to the Niles, va'osa sham tzrachav, and there he would tend to his bodily needs. The obvious question that one has to ask is, if Paro really was concerned with people knowing who he was or who he wasn't, why would he just not play it safe and use one of the hundreds of bathrooms in his palace? We clearly know there are certain parts of a king's palace that are off limits. Why didn't he just go to the bathroom in one of his secret chambers in his palace, where he could for sure guarantee that he wouldn't bump into anyone who he knows or who he doesn't know? None of his people are allowed into those chambers. You can't come into a king without getting permission. But to go to the Niles, to stand by the bank of the river, I don't care how early it is, there will always be people that are walking along the sea. I mean, I'm from Miami Beach, Florida. There are people at all hours of the day and night walking along the ocean. That's just what people do. And now, clearly everyone knows that's what he does. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to go because that's what he does every morning, and that's where he's going to speak with him. I would have thought that Paro and his advisors would have come up with a better way, with a better plan, so that people would think that he's a god than having to relieve himself by the Nile. This whole issue is pretending or promoting himself to be a god, doesn't seem like he's doing such a great job. That's our first question. Our second question is, ultimately, when Moshe and Aaron went to Paro, and they came to Paro, the Torah tells us, Vayavo Moshe v'Aaron el Paro, that Moshe and Aaron went to Paro. Zok the Medrash. The Medrash asks a fantastic question. Vahalo Aaron hayolo likanes tchila. Aaron should have come in first. Why? Shaharei gadol haya mimenu bishanim. That Aaron HaKohen was older by 3 years than Moshe. Obviously, Moshe Rabbeinu kept Kol HaTorah Kula. Moshe Rabbeinu knew all the halachos. Kabeira Savicha Viesimecha, the Vies is coming to include an older sibling. Just as a child has to come and be mechabed, honor his parents, he also is obligated to honor his older siblings. And yet, Vayavo Moshe ve'Aaron el Paro. It was Moshe Rabbeinu who went in first, who came before Aaron. Why would he have done that? Wouldn't he not have granted Aaron the honor, the kavod? And we clearly know there is a precedent. We obviously know that Moshe Rabbeinu was very careful about giving honor to his brother to the point where he refused initially to take this position of prominence because he was concerned about the kavod, the honor of his brother Aaron. And yet the Torah tells us, Vayavo Moshe v'Aaron el Paro, that Moshe Rabbeinu, when going to Paro, first came Moshe, and then came in Aaron, and the Medrash has a very difficult time understanding why would Moshe Rabbeinu come before Aaron if Aaron was Gadol Haya Mimenu Bishanim? And that is our second question. And our third question is based upon the opening psukim in our parsha, in this week's parsha. The Torah tells us, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. Hashem said to Moshe, Bo el Paro, come to Paro, ki ani chparti es libo, for I have made his heart, ves lev avadav, in the heart of his servants, heavy, stubborn. Why? Leman shisio sosai ela bikirbo, so that I shall place these signs of mine in his midst. And then the psukim continue. Uleman tisaper ba'aznei bincha ben bincha, eis asher hisalalti b'mitzrayim, and so that you may relate in the ears of your son and your son's son all of the ososai asher samti bam, all the signs that I placed among them, vidatem ki ani Hashem, that you may know that I am Hashem. This is a very difficult pasuk or psukim to understand. It seems from these psukim that the only reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought all of these osos and mofsim, all of these signs and wonders upon the Egyptians, is in order for our siddurim to be a little bit more labedic, in order that we should be able to sit and tell our children for hours about the greatness of Hashem. I would think it'd be the other way around, that we're telling about the greatness of Hashem because all of the miracles that had taken place in Mitzrayim. But it seems from the psukim, all of the miracles happened in Mitzrayim in order that we should tell it over to our children. No. We're telling over to our children because of all the great miracles. Not the other way around. But yet it seems from the psukim that everything that happened, all of the kvedas halev, the hardening of the heart, and all the miracles, was uleman tisaper ba'aznei bincho ben bincho, Eis asher hisalalti b'mitzrayim. Seems that that is such a byproduct. But the main idea is that God was exacting punishment upon the Egyptians for all the terrible atrocities that they had enacted and had decreed upon the Jews. Now, in order to answer this question, we have to bring up a very important yesod, a very important idea. That idea is histakel be'oraisa ubra alma, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked into the Torah and created the world. In other words, everything that we have in this world emanates and stems from the Torah. For example, there's a concept, or there's a mitzvah in the Torah called Kabed es avicha v'es imecha, that you have to honor your mother and your father. Now, one might think that the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this commandment is because we have parents and we're obligated to honor our parents. That's the right thing to do. Our parents have given us everything, and therefore it behooves us to express gratitude, appreciation for all they've done for us. However, the concept, the idea of histakel b'oraisa b'ra alma tells us something totally different. That the reason why we have parents, and the reason why God created this concept called a mother and a father, is because there is an Aseres Hadibros. And in that Aseres Hadibros, the Torah tells us, Kabedes Avicha V'Yasimecha. Now, how are we supposed to honor our parents if that concept doesn't exist? HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked into the Torah, and once he saw that there's a pasuk in Parshas Yisro of Kabedes Avicha V'Yasimecha, now he has to come and give a person parents in order to fulfill that which it says in the Torah. That's what it means, histakel b'oraisa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked into the Torah and created the world. There's a pasuk at the end of this week's parsha that tells us, v'higadot levincha b'yomahu lemor. And you're obligated to tell over to your son, b'yomahu, on that day, saying, ba'avor zeh, asa Hashem li b'seisi Mitzrayim. It is on account of this that Hashem did for me when I left Mitzrayim. It should be a sign on your hand, and so forth and so on. In other words, because there is a mitzvah in the Torah, I believe, of you need to tell over to your children what happened on that day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that pasuk, and therefore he had to create a situation where we can fulfill that mitzvah of v'higadot levincha b'yomahu lemor. Now, the only way that we can fulfill that mitzvah of telling over to your child that story is if there is a story. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created that story and brought about that story in order to fulfill that which it says in the Torah. And now it makes perfect sense. Everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had done, Hichbadati es libo ves lev avadov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hardened the heart. Why? So that I'm going to place signs in his midst. Why are we placing signs in the midst? In order, Uleman tisaper ba'azni bincho ben bincha, in order that you should be able to tell over the story to your children all of the wonders that I had done. That's histakel b'oraisa ubra alma. In other words, the Torah defines reality. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked into the Torah, and based upon what is written in the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu defined reality. The Torah defines reality. The Torah is the only idea that's the absolute truth. Everything we have in the world, everything we've had in the world, and everything we will potentially have in the world, ultimately comes and emanates and stems from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. The Torah preceded the world. Generations before the world was created, the Torah already was in existence, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by looking into the Torah, was putting into motion the world that we have, God's creation called this world. Now, unlike the Torah, which is an absolute truth, which defines our reality, it's different. It's different with the Gentile world. The rest of the world, their reality is defined by time and place. It's defined by perhaps different circumstances, depending upon the world that we're living in, depending upon the whims of people. I want to share with you words of Yerucham Levavitz. He says, Mishpatei ha'umos u'mishpatei ha'Torah, the laws of the nations of the world and the laws of the Torah, chalukim bi'ikram v'chol mitziyusam, they are polar extremes, opposites, mikotze el kotze, from one side to the next. Mishpatei ha'umos, the laws of the nations, yisodosam haskamas b'nei Adam, its foundation lies in the agreement of man, lefi hazman v'hamakom, based upon the time and the place, b'tnai hachayim, and conditional to where the tzibor, where the community is holding, einam michuyavim u'muchrachim be'etzem. Ultimately, it's not obligatory. It doesn't really have any substance or grounded in anything real. Hayom he mikubalim, today it's accepted. Umachar yiyu dechuyim, but tomorrow it's rejected. Hamiyazdim ba'atzma mole hafachios. The foundations themselves are filled with stiros, with contradictions. Da'ateyem shelahem mishtanot, and their thoughts change from morning to evening and from evening to morning, and so forth and so on. Mishtanotein lefi ritzonoseyem, it changes based upon their desires, umatzav rucham, and how they're feeling shebechol rega v'rega at any given time. Lo kein ha-Torah, Reb Yerucham writes, that's not the case with the Torah. Ki maisa elukimi, it's the word of God. V'lo rak sheina misados, not only that it has nothing to do with man, but rather HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, in creating man, creating this world, looked into the Torah again, total, absolute truth, not giving in or catering to the whims of people, not interested in the times or the place, but rooted in something that even precedes the world itself. The Medrash comes and tells us, why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu went in before Aaron HaKohen, his brother who was Gadol, Haya Mimenu Bishanim, Shehaya Gadol Mimenu Be'eretz Mitzrayim? That Moshe Rabbeinu, in the eyes of the Egyptians, was greater. In other words, the Egyptians saw Moshe Rabbeinu as a more prestigious person, as a greater person. He was more chashuv. He had more accolades. He held a higher position. And therefore, the Egyptians accorded and afforded him more honor. But didn't have any substance. That was their thought process. But we all know that when it comes to politicians, today they're important because they were elected. But tomorrow, they're garnished. They're nothing. They don't have any substance. There's nothing inherent great about them other than the idea that right now they have some power. Moshe Rabbeinu understood that this was an issue of pikuach nefesh. Of course, Moshe Rabbeinu kept Kol HaTorah Kula. But he understood that in the eyes of the Egyptians, he was more chashuv. He was more prestigious. He was more honorable. And therefore, he went in first. Interesting. In Parshas Va'era, the Torah will tell us, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe vel Aaron neymor. Says first the name of Moshe and then Aaron. And then there will be times where we'll say Vayomer Hashem el Aaron vel Moshe. Times that Aaron's name will come first. Rashi says, don't be bothered by such an inconsistency, because Aaron and Moshe are shoven bakol, they're equal. Because in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're both chashuv. They're both important. Each one maximizing his own unique abilities that were given to him by God. To Klal Yisrael. The Torah defines the reality. The Torah says, Aaron and Moshe are equal, interchangeable. But to the Egyptians, it's Vayovo Moshe, the Aaron El Paro. We are absolute because the only absolute truth and reality in the world is the Torah. It doesn't change. It's the same, always. It's not the case by the Gentiles. You know, last week I was at a chasna in Baltimore, and I was talking to an old friend from yeshiva who happens to work for the Agudas Yisrael. And he works in their political affairs department to the point where the chashev yid, a very, very impressive person. And he also had the opportunity of, if I think by the Abraham Accords, by the White House, when the White House was bringing out the Abraham Accords, he actually gave a prayer, an invocation. And we were talking, and it's so amazing, it's so fascinating that they spend all of this time trying to curry favor with politicians, and these politicians are chashuv. But then what happens when they're not reelected? They're gurnish, they're nothing. The president of the United States, the most powerful person in the world, is at most powerful for 8 years, perhaps 4 years. Entire world is dictated by the president of the United States. And then another president comes in. And the old president, he might have a social, he might have a secret service who watches him. He might get a briefing, but that's the extent of it. He's no longer powerful. Because it's rooted in the whim of man. In time and place and what people are thinking at any given time. So, in one election they'll vote for him, in another election they'll vote for somebody else. That's not absolute. In the eyes of the Egyptians, it was Moshe who was more chashuv than Aaron. But in the eyes of the Torah, in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which defines reality, it's Vayomer Hashem al Moshe vel Aaron, Vayomer Hashem al Aaron vel Moshe. Because ultimately, Shav and Bakol, they're ultimately equal in a real, defined reality. And that is precisely why the Ibn Ezra explains the reason that Paro went every morning by the Niles. Ibn Ezra tells us that it was the minhag. Minhag melech Mitzrayim ad hayom, until today, lotzeis Tammuz va'av. They would go by the ocean in the months of Tammuz and Av, ki az yigdal hayor. The yor would rise, liros, kamamilos, Allah, and they would go and see how high it went. And there are those that explain the reason why they did this was it was somehow good for their eyes. It would strengthen their eyesight. Now, we all know in science and medicine, things change. Every day, there are different ideas and perspectives. Even this whole last 2 years, every week, every month, they're coming out with new data about COVID and the vaccinations, and how many days of quarantine, less, more. Every day things are changing, things are evolving. Because nothing in the world outside of Torah is an absolute truth. Every day science is evolving and medicine evolves. And kings and presidents and politicians, they're here today and gone tomorrow. But the Torah remains, HaKadosh Baruch Hu remains. Something that remains and endures forever is and can be the only absolute truth. Ibn Ezra and others explained different explanations than Rashi. Rashi suggests it was because he viewed himself as a god, but Pashtus, it doesn't make sense because he could have done other things, had other ways of going to the bathroom. According to the Ibn Ezra, it was because that's what kings did to benefit themselves. But that, perhaps thousands of years ago, was a benefit. Today it's a detriment, and so forth and so on. Histakel b'oraiso b'ra'olma. Kodesh Baruch Hu even brought Klal Yisrael into Eretz Mitzrayim and took them out. Biyad chazakah u'bizra netuya. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kafuf. He gives in to what the Torah says because the Torah is truth. And because there's a pasuk of Yigatul Avincha Bayomahu Lemor, Kodesh Baruch Hu was compelled to bring about this entire episode of Egypt and Yisias Mitzrayim in order that we should be able to tell over to our children this great story about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wonders. But the Egyptians and the world, they have their own set of rules that change from day to day, from night to day, day to night. And ultimately, which is why, according to the Ibn Ezra, why Paro went outside to go to the bathroom, or just went outside, not to go to the bathroom, just went outside because that's what he did, because in those times it made sense to, but perhaps today it would be something different.